if you will, and turn it to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Maybe you've never heard of the World Plowing Competition, but it's held every year in different parts of the world. Upwards towards 30,000 people attend this competition. Just to show you how popular it is, if you look up on YouTube, the 2011 competition has almost 500,000 views. You know, when I was in Brazil with Jed on the survey trip, there were tractors that were just mowing down these, I think it was cotton field is what it was. I don't remember exactly, but I remember we stopped. We just watched that for a minute. And I think that's a little bit of kid in all of us that love to see that big machinery just knocking down the row after row, and whether it's hay or corn, it's just interesting to see these incredibly massive machinery just go through and wipe out a field in no time flat. If you think about it as a sport, it's probably the oldest sport in the world. It goes all the way back to Cain and Abel. Plowing is to prepare for sowing, which ultimately leads to reaping. I first heard of the seven laws of the harvest when I was in Bible college. I've not heard of it before then. The laws are not original with me, but I hope tonight that the explanation and the application will be new and fresh tonight. I've modified some of the points, some of the laws, where I thought it needed to be to make the point that I'd like to make tonight. But Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And I don't know about you, but even as an early Christian in my 20s, I heard this verse preached on, and friends of mine would bring it up, and they'd always use it as an admonition and a warning. Be careful. You'll reap what you sow. You'll reap what you sow. It is almost used as a scare tactic to say, listen, whatever you're doing is probably bad, and you're going to reap that later. Now, there's truth in that, but I want you to know there's a positive side to that as well. Look at verse 8 again, if you will. It says, yes, he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But it does not stop there. It goes on, and there's a positive aspect as well. He says, but he that soweth to his Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I don't see this verse as a cudgel to beat people with. It ought to be something that inspires hope, knowing that if you are living for the Lord Jesus Christ, you are sowing something that God can use in your life and in the life of others around you. Now, there is a warning to be given here. But I'd like to spend some time going over these seven laws of the harvest. It's from a book I found out later in life from John Lawrence called Life's Choices. And so, like I said, I modified it slightly. Number one, we reap only where we have sown. We reap only where we have sown. Now, I think there's two ways to look at this verse. One is simply thinking about sowing the gospel. And that is true. When you look back at these 25 or 30 different families that are out serving the Lord, just think of the families that are sent out of Maranatha, and whether that's to Brazil or Micronesia or here in the United States, understand that only where we are sending people will the gospel be sown. Somebody has to go. But it's not just in all these foreign places. It's whatever field God has called you to. Where are you rubbing shoulders with lost people? That's your mission field. And so if you're not sowing the gospel seed, don't assume that everybody else is. The people that you work with, the people that you come into contact with on a regular basis, those that you're developing those relationships, they ought to be an end or a means to an end. And that end ultimately should be to share the gospel. And whether that's through door knocking or tract distribution or building those relationships. But where you're not handing out tracts, there's nothing that's going to grow from there. I want you to think of Brother Klein used to say all the time when he had cattle, he'd say, I'm not a cattle farmer. He says, I'm a grass farmer. Because we had to grow enough grass to feed all the cows that he had. And it was very intricate work for him to have enough fields to be able to feed that cattle. But if he didn't sow a field, it wasn't going to raise the right kind of hay that he wanted to feed those cattle. You've got to make sure that you are sowing the gospel wherever you go. That's the responsibility and the privilege that God has given us to carry this message, this life-giving message, to the world around us. Are we faithful? Matthew 13:3 says, and he, talking about Jesus, spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And so wherever God has you, sow. Sow the gospel. Sow the good news. He's using you to plant in the field in which he's put you. Without you, there's not going to be a harvest that there could be with you. He wants you to sow. There are lost and dying people in this world that need to hear the gospel, and God has placed you in a position to share it with them. People I don't know, people that other people in this church may not know, but people that you know need the gospel. But let me take it a step further. I don't believe it's talking about just the gospel. I believe it's talking about our actions in life. In the different areas of your life, if you are sowing spiritual things, you will reap spiritual things. And so what do you spend your time reading? Fox News? Some other news channel? I'm just saying there's a lot of things that we sow our time. But God would have us to sow it in spiritual things. But we're only going to reap where we have sown. There's a great verse going back to the thought of the gospel in Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? They need a preacher in order to get saved. But let me say that doesn't mean a pastor. It means a proclaimer of the gospel. And every one of us can be a proclaimer of the gospel. But that will only happen when we open our mouths. It's good for us to send these missionaries out. It's good for us to be part of the faith promise giving in order to see people in foreign lands to be able to hear the gospel that they wouldn't have been able to hear otherwise. But it's important for us not to think that our giving or even our praying is sufficient to say we've done the Great Commission. That's part of it, but it's not all of it. And so it can't be any less than that, but it can be more than that. So the first law of the harvest is we reap only where we have sown. You're not going to have a field miraculously have a crop of corn unless you go through in that field and plant that corn. Likewise, we reap in the same kind as we have sown. Talking about corn, you don't go out to a field and plant corn and come back and harvest watermelon, right? When you plant carrots, you don't get potatoes. And I'm glad when you plant potatoes, you don't get asparagus. Amen. What you so is what you're going to get. And that's really the whole focal point of Galatians chapter 8. The spiritual, and the flesh reaps corruption. Hosea 10, 12 through 13 puts it this way. Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. Do you know what fallow ground is? The Jews would have to let their land sit. I think it was once every 7 years, and then after 50 years, they had to do something as well. But that seventh year, that soil would get baked in the sun, and it would get hardened. And you couldn't go through and just plant seeds on it. As a matter of fact, even at the end of the season, when the cultivators have gone through, by the next time it's time to plant, that ground will still be too hard. Even if it didn't sit for a year, just for a season, before the next growing season, they have to cultivate it. They have to till it up, or you'll see those big discs that they drag behind, and they furrow those lines. But that fallow ground is ground that's been sitting, but it's hard, and it needs to be turned over in order for the seed to get to that life-giving dirt. And so the Lord through Hosea was saying, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. And he's using this idea of farming as an illustration of our pursuit of God. How tender and ready for the word of God is your heart? How much are you willing to listen? Are you ready for God's reign to go into your life, his reign of righteousness upon you? He said, you've plowed, in verse 13, wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You've eaten the fruit of lies because thou did trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. When we think about the gospel, we are sure that we're going to see people saved when we share the gospel. I think that's an eventuality. You share and you share and you share. Not everybody's going to get saved, but somebody is going to get saved. And we get reports from that, from people going out even door to door, meeting people on the street, and they had an opportunity. That's unusual because there's not a relationship that's been developed there, but it still happens. And what I'm saying is where the gospel is sown, people will get saved. We reap in the same kind as we have sown. But I want you to think about this in your life. There is a warning here. Those that reap to their flesh are going to reap corruption. We use verses like, be sure your sin will find you out. But I'm telling you, that's the honest truth. And what you are sowing today, what you're reaping today is what you've sown yesterday and the day before. We're constantly bringing in a harvest. And maybe you need to decide to start changing some habits. Maybe you need to start incorporating some habits so that tomorrow and next week and next year you can have a harvest that is pleasing to the Lord and that is going to be beneficial to you rather than destructive. As we plant the gospel, souls are going to be saved. As we sow to the Spirit, there's going to be spiritual growth. But if we sow to the flesh, there is going to be destruction in our lives. We reap only where we have sown. We reap in the same kind as we have sown. We reap in a different season than what we sow. We reap in a different season than we sow. I've read that radishes are the fastest growing vegetables. They're ready for harvest in just 25 to 30 days after planting. When grown from a seed, it takes a mulberry tree about 10 or years or more to reach maturity and begin bearing fruit. An olive tree can be 20 years before it's truly productive. I remember sitting down talking to a man whose wife had prayed for him for 40 years before he got saved. There was somebody else in the church whose spouse got saved after decades and decades of prayer. You're not going to see it all the time just as soon as you share the gospel with somebody. It may happen but it's quite unusual. I want to encourage you to not give up. Don't give up on that family member, that friend, that high school acquaintance. Adoniram Judson spent 6 years on the field before he saw his first convert. You may be tempted to give up, to get discouraged. When Winston Churchill visited Harrow boarding school, I think it was, he told those young people what I'm trying to convey to you tonight, but he said it so much more elegantly. I'm going to share you his quote. Winston Churchill said this to this young class. He says, never give in, never give in, never, 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 never in nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Somebody said it's always too early to quit. The harvest may be just around the corner. Who is it that you've witnessed to and you think they're a lost cause? You don't think that of all the people that would ever get saved, they're not one of them. We don't believe in election, but they're not it. I wonder how many people thought that about Saul of Tarsus before he got saved. I just want to encourage you, continue to sow in the lives of those people that God gives you that influence in. It's not going to happen immediately. You just keep sowing, and you just keep watering, and you just keep cultivating, and someday, by God's grace, it's going to make sense to them, and they're going to say, this is what I need. Or perhaps God brings a trial into their life, and they know who they can come talk to because you've been consistently loving them through Christ. Don't give up. Don't give in. That person needs you to be consistent. We reap in a different season than we sow. We reap more than we sow. I've read that pole beans can yield 10 pounds or more from a 10-foot row. But it said that its beans, one bean seed, will produce 120 beans. Mark 4:8 says, another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. You know, just a moment ago, I mentioned Adoniram Judson. It was said that in Burma, that when he got there, not one Christian could be found. And when he left, not one heathen could be found. It could be that the children and the grandchildren of the people that you influence for Christ will come to Christ because of your influence in their life. It could be that they're used of God in some way because of the influence you had on their life. I read about a missionary that won a man to Christ. God called him to ministry and called all four of his children to ministry. I'm just saying, you have no idea the impact that you can have in someone's life. You see, when somebody gets saved, their eternal destiny changes. We know that. But it radically changes their lives right now for the better. I mean, that's the miraculous thing about salvation. Not only is it the blessing of eternal security, eternity with God in heaven, glorified, no more sin, no more flesh, but we have that relationship with him now. And when we share that with somebody, you can see families reconciled. You can see children reconciled to their parents, husbands reconciled to their wives. We reap more than we sow, but we also reap in proportion to what we sow. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says this, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." These last two laws are related. They're not contradictory, but there's a very important difference. The last two laws both deal with the fact that we reap more than what we sow. Both deal with quantity and amount, but the previous law, where the seed is sown, is multiplied manyfold, has to do with God's part. You understand? We can't make more beans come up. We can't make a pole bean give us a bean with 120 seeds. Only God can do that. Likewise, we can't make people get saved, but it is Him that does the saving. It's always God that gives the increase. This one has to do with human responsibility, our responsibility. It has to do with living by faith. It has to do with being faithful, being bold and courageous and venturesome and willing to be busy about your Father's business. Sow the gospel seed. Sow those good things in your life. Sow good habits that you can reap in proportion to what you sow. So the bean grows up, or a watermelon grows up. But what happens if you plant a whole field? If you plant one corn stalk, several corn, not cobs, what do you call those things? Several ears of corn will grow up on that thing. They're a cob after I'm done with it, all right? But if you just plant two or three, you'll get some corn. But if you plant a field, you'll get a harvest. A harvest. How busy are you about sharing the gospel with those around you? God's going to do what He does in response to what we do by obedience. It's not because we're anything special. It's not because you're somebody that somebody's going to get saved. It's simply because you've got a great God and you are obedient to that great God. We reap only where we have sown. We reap in the same kind as we have sown. We reap in a different season than we sow. We reap more than we sow. We reap in proportion to what we sow. And we reap the full harvest of the good only if we persevere. The evil comes to harvest on its own. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap." What's the next word? If we faint not. The difference between the weeds and the crop. You know the story or the parable that Jesus tells of the neighbor that goes and he sows all these thorns or briars into his neighbor's field. They can't tell which is which growing up. And says, "So should we just burn everything?" No, the weeds will always grow on their own, won't they? Whether the neighbor sows it or not. If you've ever had a garden, you know that you have to constantly be in there pulling out the weeds so it's not taking away the nutrients from the plant that you want to grow, from the vegetable that you want to grow, the fruit. You've got to constantly be on top of that, making sure that it has water, but always weeding. Why? Because the weeds will come on their own. We live a life that is in a fallen world. It's broken. It's not how God intended it to be. It's a sin-cursed earth. And so if we're going to have good fruit, we must persevere, because the weeds are coming in our lives. And we've got to be careful not only to pluck those, but we've got to be sure that we're doing right. We have a lot of weeds in our life, taking away the time that we could be using to sow good things. And maybe you need to look at your life and say, "Hey, what is it that is stealing my life, stealing my time, That's what really your life is made up of, minutes and hours and days. And at the end of the week, if you've flittered it all away, you can't get it back. Time is the most valuable thing that you will ever have in this life. You just can't buy it back. And the thing is, you don't know how much you have. So you'd better make use of the time that God does give to you. Let me give you the last law of the harvest. We can't do anything about last year's harvest, but we can about this year. It doesn't do any good to sit and regret and say, oh, I wish I would have. Philippians 3, 13 and 14 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Whatever difficulties, whatever failures, whatever shortcomings, it's time to put those in the rearview mirror. You can't live in the past. Not the glory days and not the gory days. You've got to live in the here and now. And what you start planting today, it may take a while to start seeing that harvest come into your life, but it is worth the wait. Maybe you're living in a harvest of some bad sowing. And you're struggling, maybe going through a trial, maybe you're just not living in victory. I want you to know you can have that victory in Christ as you begin to sow and walk with Christ. Are you ready to begin tomorrow's harvest today? The way you do that is you start sowing spiritual things. Not carnal, not fleshly, but spiritual. In the sphere of the gospel, maybe it's, hey, you know what? I need to be more diligent in having tracts on me to pass out to people, looking for opportunities. Maybe I need to develop some friendships. Maybe I need to find somebody lost and learn their name and get to know them. It's hard, but it's worth it. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, be not deceived, God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I hope you're sowing to the Spirit, and I hope you are busy sowing the gospel. Why don't we spend some time in prayer tonight? If you fill out a prayer request card, there'll be somebody by to pick those up shortly.